Live on air. Presented by Ger Sweeney.
It's Monday again. Good afternoon or good evening at this stage, and welcome to today's edition of Live on Air. Nice to have your company as always. I have a lot lined up for you this evening, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Firstly, can I say to you, if at any stage you'd like to get in contact with the programme, I'd love to hear from you. The contact details, Ger, G-E-R, at talkradioeurope.com. All right, G-E-R at talkradioeurope.com. And can I ask you, please, to share the information with your friends, particularly somebody from the Irish community, and just let them know that there is an Irish programme now on Talk Radio Europe. It's called Live on Era. It's presented by me, Ger Sweeney, and it happens on a Monday evening just after the 6 o'clock news. So on the programme today, I'm going to be talking to Peter O'Dwyer in relation to the events over the last couple of days relating to Brexit and its relationship with Ireland, the border between Northern Ireland and the south of Ireland. The nine things that Irish people must do on holidays. Oh yeah, there are nine things. I'll be talking to Rudy Kinsella from Joe.ie in relation to that. We'll be taking a listen back as well to 1968, to the Eurovision Song Contest and Ireland's entry in that, and I'll tell you who won that particular year as well. And over the weekend, on Saturday in fact, I was at the Marbella Rugby Club for the barbecue, the end of season barbecue hosted by Costa Gales. Had a lovely time there, and I'll have a nice report from that for you as well on the programme. There'll be bits of music in there and bits of information about other things happening over the next wee while that I think and I hope might be of interest to you. Now, every so often we like to take a look at birthdays, famous Irish birthdays happening maybe in the week ahead, and play a track from somebody if it's a musical one. I've got three birthdays that I want to mention for you today. Firstly, if you cast your mind back many, many years, many of you listening won't remember this man being alive, maybe, but he was born in 1884, and Thursday is the anniversary of his birthday, and that is John Count McCormack, wonderful tenor that he was. His birthday we remember on Thursday of this week. Simon Coveney, a man that you hear a lot about, particularly when we talk about Brexit. Simon Coveney is the Foreign Minister, the Irish Minister for Foreign Affairs in Ireland. Also our Taoiseach, he's 46 years old this coming Saturday. And a man who is 49, there's probably going to be something special for his 50th next year. A man from Navan, if I remember correctly, living in Galway these days. Tommy Tiernan celebrates his birthday on Saturday, 49 years of age. And I thought it would be nice to start the programme with a little bit of a laugh, because Tommy Tiernan is always good for a laugh. So because it's his birthday this week, here he is from Live at the Apollo from a couple of years ago. Tommy Tiernan.
Thank you very much. My goodness, there we go. Difficult times, folks, difficult times. Came here in a big car. Big, huge car. Big car that doesn't suit me. Bought a big fancy car when times were good, you know, and doesn't suit me. I know it doesn't suit me because I drove past my reflection in a shop window, and before I knew who it was, I called him an arse. Who do you think you are in your big fancy car? Don't give me the fingers, I'll stab the head in you. We found out when times were good that money doesn't suit Irish people. You know, I mean, we gave it a go, didn't we? We tried. Economists are telling us now that we screwed up the good times by spending all our money. That's what we were supposed to do. That's why they were called the good times. You can't be saving your money during the good times, because then they're not the good times. Then they're the in preparation for the bad times times. When we had money, we tried things. We tried things that didn't suit us, but at least we gave it a go. We went skiing. Irish people skiing. We get panic attacks if we're in a house with more than one set of stairs. Get away from the banister, Michael! Get away! This place is a death trap! Get away! But we gave it a go. And was there anything more frightening to the posh people of Europe up there in the Alps with their designer gear, old Dolce Gabbana and Prada and Gucci? We were there, head to toe, Aldi! Aldi skiing gear. We were in the nip by the time we got to the bottom of the hill. Stuff disintegrated if you went faster than 5 miles an hour. Ski school, no thanks. A drink at altitude, yeah. The whole world now seemingly is in recession. You know, we're told Germany owes 100 million billion trillion England owes a million billion trillion zillion billion million. Just a noise. You're in trouble when you owe that much, aren't you? What's on your credit card? Every country in the world owes money. But to who? Who does everybody in the world owe money to? And why don't we just kill the bastard and relax?
Ah, the wonderful Tommy Tiernan. I love hearing that story, or those, both those stories. Nice one indeed. We wish Tommy a very happy birthday on Saturday. Now, if you're into your reading, I don't know whether you've ever read Ulysses. I haven't, but I'm struggling to get into it. And the reason I'm struggling to get into it is because next Saturday, the 16th of June, is Bloomsday. And Bloomsday here in Spain is being celebrated in Madrid and other places, but it's also being celebrated in Fuengirola. It starts at 8 o'clock. It's at La Sepa Playa. That's just in front of the Hotel Florida and the Carousel, if you know Fuengirola. And there'll be readings from Ulysses, the 8th year that this has happened on Bloomsday. The 8th chapter is the one that's going to be read in your very own language. And if you recall, last week we had Roger Comiskey, who is the organizer, the man that told us all about it last week on the program. Now, in case you have your book and you don't know what chapter it is, because none of them are numbered, it begins with Pineapple Rock Lemon Plat Butterscotch, a sugar sticky girl shoveling spoonfuls of creams for a Christian brother. That's the one it starts with. And you can read that in your own language. So we're hoping that on the day I'll be there. And I'm hoping that we'll have a few nationalities. We'll get a nice report from that as well and bring it to you next Monday on the programme. But if you are available at 8 o'clock on next Saturday, why not join us for the annual Bloomsday Bathe and Reading on the Beach? It starts at 8 o'clock. You'll be read. If you want to go for a paddle or a swim afterwards, you can do that. And a cup of coffee after that as well. You'll be done and dusted by 10:30 and you'll still have all of your Saturday together. So there you go. That's it. Bloomsday 2018 in Fuengirola. And we wish everybody well with that and looking forward to seeing you all there on the day. Coming up very shortly, going to be talking to Peter O'Dwyer in relation to Brexit and what's been happening over the last week or thereabouts.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Welcome back to the programme. Now, Peter O'Dwyer is the senior business correspondent or reporter with the Times Ireland edition. And Peter joins us on a weekly basis to tell us what's been happening in relation to Ireland, specifically Ireland and the Brexit negotiations. And he's on the line again today. Peter, thank you for joining us and welcome. It's been an eventful couple of days. And last Thursday, Theresa May presented something new or a new idea. Tell us about that, please, if you would.
So last Thursday, we saw a little more detail from the UK government in terms of what it plans to solve the Irish border issue. Essentially, what they've done is said that they will remain within the customs union post the transition period, which expires at the beginning of 2021. But it seems that commitment to stay within the customs union is time limited, i.e. that it appears they will only stay within the customs union until the end of 2021. So that would solve the Irish border issue, but only for that 12-month period, i.e. when the transition period ends. Now, that is unlikely to wash with either Dublin or Brussels, because the time-limited aspect of it is something that they have said is a complete no-no. It's a red line. This backstop was supposed to avoid a border no matter what time we're talking about into the future, given the level of uncertainty around what sort of a trade deal can be done. It needs to be open-ended and not time-limited. So Leo Varadkar essentially said that last week. He said that he'd be happy to take a further look at it, but if there was a time limit on it, it wouldn't work for the Irish government, and that would be the position of the EU as well. Okay. Amidst all the noise, I suppose, we had quite a clear statement, I thought, from John McGrain, the head of the British-Irish Chamber of Commerce, which is a body that represents both British businesses and Irish businesses. So it's kind of uniquely, I suppose, well-placed to comment on these sorts of things. And he said that If you remember last week, we were discussing the UK proposal to have a 10-mile wide border and to have different arrangements that would maybe solve the issue. So he said that last week we had the Brexit Secretary proposing a solution that would just move the problem, i.e. move where the border and where the checks would have to be. But now that the UK government has put forward a formal proposal, it only delays the problem, i.e. at the end of 2021, we'll be back in this position and have to discuss it again. So he said quite plainly, and more plainly, I think, than any politician from Ireland or Brussels can say, but probably quite along the lines of what they would think as well. He said, it just seems that no matter what way the British government cut it, solving the actual problem hasn't been addressed. And that the reality is, if you have two countries operating under two different customs arrangements, then that's just a circle that cannot be squared without having a border. So a decision has to be made. Do we stay in the customs union and single market indefinitely, which would obviously be completely anathema to the Brexiteers, or do we go back and try and sort something else out, you know?
Okay, now David Davis and Theresa May were at opposite ends of this particular agreement. They both thought that they got something out of it. So they were both claiming a win, weren't they?
Yeah, essentially. So you had Theresa May's people spinning, I suppose, in UK media circles right after this wording was announced, saying that essentially we sold David Davis a bit of a pop here. He didn't quite fully understand the wording that we put into it, and it was very, very wordy. I wouldn't recommend any of your listeners, unless they're real Brexit geeks, to go and dig it out, because you take a while before you got any enlightenment from it.
Right.
But they were saying that essentially we bamboozled David Davis with the language and he didn't quite get what he wanted. Now, what he wanted was a time limit, as we just discussed.
Yeah.
And he seemed satisfied that he has gotten that. The wording of it is very indefinite. It's, you know, the UK expects that XYZ will happen and anticipates. It's not concrete. It's kind of aspirational language. So both kind of satisfy themselves that they had a win. Who actually got that win, I suppose, it depends which persuasion you are.
Right, okay. Now, we talk about putting a time limit on it, and we have, over the past couple of weeks, we have used the expression, you have used the expression, kicking the can down the road. Is there a possibility that kicking the can down the road to the end of 2021 could do two things? Number one, the British government that would be in place at that time or in the lead up to then may be different, and or if it's not, it may not be as dependent on a party like the DUP that has a very hard line on this. Or number two, that the early effects of Brexit will have started to kick in. People will be a little bit more conciliatory in how they look at things because of the effects already there. Is there a possibility that this is what it's about?
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair comment. I think it's a case of the British government and Theresa May has probably realised that essentially they've signed up to too many things that they have promised to deliver, and you can't deliver them all, i.e. you can't deliver the type of Brexit that Brexiteers want while also avoiding a hard border, while also maintaining the integrity of the United Kingdom. There's three things that they've signed up to there, and they can't really be delivered all at the same time. You can pick two from three, but you can't deliver them all.
Okay.
So suppose, as you say, the hope is that fast forward a couple of years, if the can is kicked down the road further, maybe the internal politics changes, there's another election, and you're not so dependent on the DUP. So maybe you can soften the aspect that is most precious to the DUP, which is the integrity of the United Kingdom. Maybe you could backtrack on that sort of a promise if they weren't in the picture as much. Or alternatively, maybe the initial effects economically of Brexit are quite profound and people begin to doubt the actual logic, I suppose, of pursuing Brexit. And that maybe then you soften the line that you're absolutely leaving the customs union, single market, and there's no question about it. So I think it probably is a case of hoping that something shifts.
Okay.
And one of those three ideas that they've signed up to becomes less important and they can backtrack a little bit on it.
All right. And the person that is probably not on the Christmas list for Theresa May, something was leaked from a private dinner on Thursday evening. Boris Johnson, what did he have to say about what happened over the last couple of days?
Yeah, Boris, as we all know, is quite outspoken at the best of times. But this is one of his most impressive forays, I'd suggest. He's at a private dinner in London. And as you say, it's said that this was leaked, but given that it was a small private dinner of hardline Brexiteers, you'd wonder if anybody there would really be trying to leak this to do him over. It might actually be a case of his own team leaking it because it would play quite well to the hardline Brexiteers. he said essentially he had a quite pointed remark about Philip Hammond, the UK Treasury Secretary, Chancellor of the Exchequer, where he said that that department that he runs is the heart of Remain, which is quite evocative kind of language. And he said that the struggle within the UK government is very, very difficult, but that he was up for the fight. So it was real rousing language saying to, I suppose, his supporters. He was saying that this is difficult, but I will continue with this fight. We will deliver what we have promised we will deliver. He said that down the road, he might be willing to compromise on certain aspects, which he didn't elaborate on. Okay. But for the moment, there could be no compromise. So it was a real flag in the ground. We've promised that we will deliver this type of Brexit where we will remove ourselves from the shackles of the EU, and that's what we're going to do. And he also discussed the Irish border, and he essentially said it's a tiny border. There's not too much trade passes over it. And why are we wasting our time with this?
right.
Which, if he means what he says there, you'd have to be somewhat worried that he doesn't fully grasp the gravity of the situation. And we've discussed on this program before that it's not just a purely economic issue with the Irish border, although that is quite important. It's also an issue of the peace process, the Good Friday Agreement, the potential for all of those gains to be eroded somewhat. Yeah. So for him to be, I suppose, dismissing the importance of it is slightly worrying. Now, whether you actually think he believes that or not is another matter. He might just be saying it, but that's how he said how he stole last Thursday anyway.
Peter, before I let you go, a question for you just in relation to Boris Johnson. Does anybody know exactly what he wants? Ultimately, what's his goal? Is it number 10? Is it to just be a thorn in number 10 side?
Yeah, I think it's undoubtedly that he wants to be a number 10 himself. To some people, he's the object of ridicule. But if you were Boris Johnson, you'd probably be quite happy with yourself. He has consistently moved up the food chain in British politics. He's never really taken a backward step. Now, there was a brief moment, I suppose, after Brexit where he thought that that was his moment to be Prime Minister, and that didn't work out. But he still got elevated to quite a high position of Foreign Secretary. So while some people laugh at him and, you know, dismiss his opinions, if you were Boris Johnson, you'd probably be quite pleased with yourself. You've now positioned yourself in a very senior role within Cabinet. You are the leading Brexiteer. This doesn't seem to be going particularly smoothly for Theresa May. And if there's a heave against her, then he's pretty well positioned. So he mightn't be a million miles off achieving his ultimate goal, which is obviously to be Prime Minister.
Well, I suppose we've seen people with funny hairdos get to high positions in the past. It may not be beyond the realms of possibility. Peter,
absolutely.
On that note, thank you very much for joining us this evening again to talk to us about the Irish perspective on Brexit. And we look forward to hearing from you again next week on the programme. Peter O'Dwyer from the Times Ireland Edition, the senior business reporter. Peter, thanks a million.
No worries.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Right, something a little bit upbeat now after chatting about Brexit. Let's look at the 1968 Eurovision Song Contest. It was the 13th annual contest, and it was held at the Royal Albert Hall on the 6th of April back in 1968. And Ireland came fourth with 18 points on the board. The winner was Spain, and the name of the song was La La La, which is not unusual for a Eurovision Song Contest winner, and it was sung by Massiel. And as I was doing the research during the week for this, I said to myself, I don't know the song, I don't know the performer. And by sheer coincidence, on Saturday morning, there I was listening to the radio, and what came on? Only Massiel and La La La. But I just thought it was a coincidence that I happened to hear it on the week that I thought, yeah, I don't remember that particular one, but there you go. Anyway, how would I remember? I was only one actually back in 1968. The 1968 Eurovision Song Contest, as I said, held in London, but it was a special one. The first time that the broadcast was done in colour. Now, not all of the countries did it in colour, but a number of them did. So the option was there for the very first time. So Ireland's entry. Are you familiar with the boxer Barry McGuigan? Well, his father, Pat, was a great singer. And it was Pat McGuigan that represented Ireland back in 1968 with the Eurovision Song Contest with this particular song. Lovely song it is as well. Take a listen. Hope you enjoy it.
One day, while I was out walking, I saw your face in the midst of a crowd. Here I thought is the chance of a lifetime. I thought you'd step from a cloud. Think of that us from above. Why should I be out walking that day and get the chance of a lifetime of love? Show me the way you are feeling always. Tell me just what I should know. Oh, a guiding hand must have brought us together, but now that seems so long ago. You are the one I have dreamt of. Oh, I never thought my dreams would come true. Chance of a lifetime, the chance of a lifetime with you. Show me the way you are feeling always. Tell me just what I should know. Oh, a guiding hand must have brought us together, but now that seems so long ago. You are the one I have dreamt of. I never thought my dreams would come true. All I want is the chance of a lifetime, the chance of a lifetime. Chance of a lifetime with you.
There we go, the lovely, the charming voice of Pat McGuigan from Northern Ireland singing Chance of a Lifetime. And that was the Eurovision Song Contest entry for 1968 from Ireland, came fourth, as I said to you a little while ago, on 18 points, and a nice song it is as well. All right, don't forget the contact details for the programme if you'd like to get in touch with us. Ger is my name, Ger Sweeney, so it's Ger, G-E-R, at talkradioeurope.com if you'd like to send an email at any stage. If there's something happening that you think would be of interest to the Irish community, please do let me know, and I'll do my best to cover it. We'll certainly give it some publicity for you anyway. All right, so get in contact, and if you think that you can be of assistance, it would be great to hear from you, and spread the word for us as well, if you wouldn't mind. It would be ever so helpful.
Live on Air, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Welcome back to the programme, and I like to browse the internet, as everybody does, and probably one of my favourite sites is joe.ie, because there's always something nice and there's something interesting and something to make you smile. And the other evening I was browsing through it and I spotted the 9 things that only Irish people look forward to when they go on holidays, and I thought, this is definitely something that I've got to look at. And the author is Rudy Kinsella, and he started his article by saying that summer is finally upon them in Ireland, which it is, and the weather is obviously gorgeous, and people, no matter where they're working, are looking forward to going away, and we all go to different places and we do different things when we go there, but there are 9 things that only Irish people look forward to doing on holidays. All right, Rudy joins me on the phone now. Rudy, good evening, and thank you very much for taking the call today. How are you?
Not too bad, yourself?
Sure, I'm in top form, why wouldn't I? The sun is splitting the rocks and all is well, I'm glad to say. Where did you get the concept, or where did you get the idea for this, Rudy?
Well, I think the idea behind it was just, it came from a place where I just kind of realised that Irish people do just have an interesting outlook on holidays in general. Obviously, everybody looks forward to holidays, but I just think the way that Irish people approach them is just kind of a different mentality to the rest of the world. That they just, it's almost like anything goes sort of mentality once they get over there, you know?
Or even before they go, because the first one that you talk about is the pint at the airport.
Yeah, well, that seems to be almost like a tradition. I'm surprised it hasn't become a law at this stage that before you go on a flight, you have to put up a picture of a pint, normally accompanied by a passport, and normally your plane ticket is you know, just about visible in the background.
That's right.
We know the caption, like, something along the lines of, oh, sure, it'd be rude not to, that sort of thing. That is definitely now an Irish thing.
As we go through these, I'm going to ask you whether you've done it or whether you haven't done it, all right? And we'll see how you score. We'll see how you score at the end of the day. So I know I'm putting my hand up and say, yes, I've done the whole pint of the bar thing. Whether I've actually posted it or not, maybe I have done, but let's just say I've done it. Have you?
I think I'm guilty of both. I've definitely had the pint of the bar, and I'm pretty sure I put it on Facebook too, yeah.
Sure, to be rude not to, as the fella says. All right.
Exactly, yeah.
All right. Number two then, looking for things that we already have in Ireland. Explain that to me.
This is another really weird one in the sense that, like, we could go to the shop in the airport and you see whatever, 50 different flavours of Tato crisps and none of them interest you. But for some reason, the second you land in a place like Portugal or Spain and you see them in the shop, you know, oh God, they've Tato here. I have to pick that up. Or something along the lines of, you know, like a Lucozade or a Dairy Milk that you wouldn't have got back home, but for some reason you just think, I'm not sure, well, I'm here, I may as well, you know, a taste of home. You should probably be doing the opposite, you know?
I suppose you should. Okay, have you done it?
I'd say I have, yeah. I'd say I've got a nice bottle of Lucozade while I'm away, to my embarrassment.
That's okay, we've probably all done it. Now, doing nothing, what's that about?
That one is, I think, one that the Irish people are definitely guilty of. Like, they end up spending so much on this lovely accommodation and, you know, you've got a lovely bed and a lovely room and a hotel or a lovely villa or something.
And a swimming pool
out the
back.
Want a swimming pool at the back, and then you end up really not wanting to leave the place at all. So you come to this beautiful foreign country full of, you know, potential new adventures and whatnot, and you end up just staying within the confines of your own accommodation. But at the same time, isn't that what a holiday is all about? Like, you just do what you want. So
I suppose it is.
That one's not too bad.
At least if you bring the children with you, they'll bring you to the local zoo maybe, or to the local water park or somewhere like that. But if you're adults...
Exactly, yeah.
All right. So have you done it or not done it?
I'd say I'm not too guilty of this one now, because right. I do like to get out and do stuff. But there's probably been some days, you know, where I'm either, you know, feeling a bit under the weather or a bit hungover or something, and I just, you know, lounge throughout the pool.
Would you believe it? I'm not terribly familiar with Lay's, L-A-Y-S, and maybe I'm unique in
oh,
that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so when I saw this, I thought, okay, but maybe it's just because I love crisps and I never actually looked at what make it was or whatever. It's obviously a big thing, is it?
Yeah. Like,
can I say to you, I checked, and in the press here at home, I have a pack of Lay's.
Oh, well, there you go.
I checked, so I'm guilty. I'm guilty of that one without even knowing it. But anyway, Lay's is obviously a popular, it's like the Spanish equivalent, is it, of Tato?
I'd say it's more like the Spanish equivalent of Walker's crisps. And to be honest, I do think they taste basically the exact same. I'd say there's actually no difference. But for some reason, maybe it's the sun that brings it out. They just kind of have it, some sort of, you know, added bit of flavor.
Right.
Probably all in your head. But I think it's a thing, you know, it's like a kind of iconic, you know, when you go away, you have to get a bag of Lay's at some stage.
Well, I'm not guilty of that, but you obviously are, are you?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. First thing when I touch down, I get a nice bag of Lay's.
I thought it was something else when I saw it first, but we won't go there. All right, let's, moving swiftly along, as the man says, getting a ball. I loved this one. I absolutely loved it. Talk to me about getting a ball.
Yeah, like, for some reason now, this is another one, like, you could be someone who doesn't even have a particularly strong interest in football or sport in general, but, you know, you just see, you know, those stalls along the side of the road or the stalls at the beaches, and they're, yeah, they always have little inflatable beach balls or whatever. You just think, oh yeah, so I need one of them. And the worst part is no one ever brings them home, because they either get lost or they'll just end up in the sea or wherever.
Yeah.
They end up under the couch or something. But the money that must be made by those fellas selling balls at those stalls must be something else.
So have you purchased a ball on your holidays?
Oh, absolutely. I say I've never gone on a holiday and not purchased a ball, to be honest.
I think when my lads would have been younger, I presume I would have done the same. But there you go. So getting a ball. All right. Now, this one, you can always spot the Irish person, really, can't you? Because wearing something floral, we just don't care when we're on holidays what we look like, do we?
No. I see this as almost like the Irish people when on holidays, this is like their uniform. I feel like they feel like they have to have something floral on at any stage. Like, normally it's just a pair of shorts or a shirt or something, but then you see some fellas, they go all out, you know, they get a floral bucket hat, floral shirt, floral shorts as well, you know, they go for the whole nine yards. It's a good way of recognizing, you know, someone from back home, because I don't think any other country is going to be trying to pull that one off.
And you forgot to mention that the white socks with the sandals will be obligatory when you're wearing the floral outfit.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
Right, being able to say, Yarrachar, I'm on my holidays.
Yeah, but like this one, This is
Sorry. Have you done the floral thing?
I think I do have one or two floral
Okay, we put it on for
a
yes on that. All right. Back to the... Go on, sure. I'm on my holidays. Go on, back to that.
Yeah, I think this one is like a get-out-of-jail-free card for an Irish person on holidays. I think it excuses any sort of behavior that they wouldn't normally do back home. So if they're, you know, having too much to drink or having too much to eat, like just being, you know, doing stuff that you wouldn't normally do, as long as you just say, sure, I'm on my holidays.
It doesn't matter.
I feel like you can probably get away with it, yeah.
And you probably feel that you've earned the right to do it as well because you've been working hard on the lead up to the holidays and stuff.
I think so too. As long as you've been looking forward to it for long enough, I think you're safe enough as long as you throw that line in at the end.
All right. Tanning is something that everybody does. And I love in the article that you've included in this, Ross from Friends, when he went and got himself all tanned and orange and Oompa Loompa, like, it's class. So, we're big tanners, are we, from Ireland?
Yeah, well, I think we like to think we are anyway. We get out to the sun and we expect to tan. And most of us, myself included, will just come home a very, you know, pinky, reddy type colour, and it never really turns to that, you know, Roskella type of brown that we're looking for. But at the same time, it doesn't, you can't fault our effort because we really do go over, like, we go hours on end trying to get that. Sure, you see people, even when they're boarding the plane, you know, they're just trying to get that last bit of sun and sticking their head out the door, just trying to get any bit of sun that they can.
Finding an Irish bar the second that you land.
Yeah, now this one is kind of inexcusable, but I mean, for some reason, we always do it. Like, there's a world of cuisine and places out, and when you go to a new country, like, so many new opportunities to find new places. Like, but for some reason, we're drawn to Paddy O'Reilly's bar, and we set up shop there on the first night, and chances are you go back there every night.
Yeah, that's
it. I mean, there's realistically, there's nothing Irish about the bar other than the name, like, but for some reason, I think it just, you know, gives us a sense of, you know, patriotism while we're away or something. We want to just have a Guinness or whatever while
support
we're abroad.
Our own.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent. And you've done that?
Oh, definitely, yeah. All right. That one's I wish I hadn't, but I definitely have.
Well, the good news is you've done 8.5 of the 9, and I think I've pretty much done 8.5 of the 9 with you, so it's all right. Listen, I really enjoyed reading it because it's one of those things that instantly brought a smile to my face and a bit of guilt as well, and I just thought it's something we should touch on. So for anybody who's listening at the minute from Ireland, maybe in Ireland even, and you're coming to Spain, just bear those 9 things in mind and see how many of them you do. I'd be interested to hear from you. You have the email address and you can let me know. Rudy, I'm going to let you go because I know you're busy. Good to talk to you, and next time you're on your holidays, enjoy it and stay away from at least 8 of those.
I'll do my best, but no promise.
Thanks, Rudy. Good to talk to you.
Cheers. You too. Thank you very much.
I don't mind if you go. I don't mind if you take it slow. I don't mind if you say yes or no. I don't mind at all. I don't care if you live or die. Couldn't care less if you laugh or cry. I don't mind if you crash or fly. I don't mind at all. I don't mind if you come or go. I don't mind if you say no. Couldn't care less, baby, let it flow, cause I don't care at all. I don't care if you sink or swim, lock me out or let me in. Where I'm going or where I've been, I don't mind at all. I don't mind if the government falls, implements more futile laws. I don't care if the nation stalls, and I don't care at all. I don't care if they tear down trees, I don't feel the hotter breeze, sinking dust and dying seas, and I don't care at all. Let's go! Crumbles. I don't mind if religion stumbles. I can't hear the speakers mumble, and I don't mind at all. I don't care if the third world fries hotter there, I'm not surprised. Maybe I can watch whole nations die, and I don't care at all. I don't mind, 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 I don't mind. Here and I
Unmistakable voice of Bob Geldof, former lead singer with the Boomtown Rats, and the great song of Indifference. Great song it is as well. You're listening to Live on Era with me, Ger Sweeney, on TRE Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain. I mentioned at the top of the programme that on Saturday I was at Marbella Rugby Club for the end of season barbecue hosted by Costa Gales. It was a wonderful afternoon and early evening, and you'll be hearing about that after this very short break.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney.
You may recall at the beginning of the Live on Era sessions, the very first programme back in late April, I was talking to Justin Parks from Costa Gales about the GAA around the Costa del Sol and indeed in Spain in general. And since then, the season has come to an end, so it was decided to have a celebratory barbecue for the members of Costa Gales and indeed to throw it open to other people to come along as well and to see two exhibition games. There were two great games, one by the juniors and one by the seniors, and it was great fun. There was barbecue, there was plenty of refreshments, there was music, there was everybody was in good form, faces were being painted in funny ways, and it was a lovely time, and I was there with the microphone. Thank you for the invitation to go along, and this is what I came back with.
Tom Murray is here with me, and Tom was captain of the Costa Gales last year. Who's captain this year, Tom?
Hopefully me, but we didn't have the best campaign. I was put into captain 2 years ago when we had the new management, and we won the league 2 years ago, so I retained my position, but we didn't have the best of campaigns this year, so it might be up for dispute this year.
And here we are at the barbecue, the end of season barbecue for the Costa Gales. So what kind of a year was it for you?
Listen, on the pitch it wasn't ideal, but it's still a great year. You know, here it's more of a social aspect more than anything. You know, we'd go out to win the games without a doubt, but you know, the club's growing. You know, here, I'm just looking on the pitch now, there's must be 40, 50 kids here, and then all the lads are here as well and supporting just the club and the growth of the game here in Spain. So it's great.
And where are you from yourself?
Nottingham.
Nottingham wouldn't be a stronghold for Gaelic games now, so tell me how you got into it here in Spain.
In secondary school, the club in Nottingham played on our fields. So there's a few lads that were involved, and obviously my parents are Irish, so I always knew what Gaelic football was. And then I broke my ankle twice in the space of 8 months playing soccer. And I went, I've had enough of that. Started playing Gaelic football first game, got knocked out. So then I shouldn't have carried on playing that either. I probably started playing when I was about 16. And obviously in England, there's a massive Gaelic setup, you know.
And is there a future for Gaelic games here in Spain?
Oh, it's massive. Here in the south, you know, with the four clubs at the minute, but then in central Spain, there's a lot more clubs. And in the north, it's gone nuts. Pushed by Spaniards as well, which is great to see.
Tom, thanks for talking to me.
Pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Mark Weston is from Wexford. What are you doing in Spain?
I work for an IT company.
And how did you get involved with the Costa Gales? Why are you here today?
I saw a poster up in the Clada. I was looking for something to do. I decided to send Justin a message. And like the plague he is, he hounded me and hounded me and hounded me until he got me up here. And since I joined the club, I think it's been the best decision. It's really nice to be part of a community. It really helped settle me down since I've arrived here. Having a group of lads that you can hang out with and have a bit of crack with and also stay active, it kind of keeps your mind healthy.
And were you interested in Gaelic games back home?
Yes, definitely. It was something I used to play every day of the week nearly. But after living somewhere else, we didn't have that opportunity, so when I came here, I had that opportunity again, so great.
There's a dub here with me. There's always a dub wherever you go. Ciarán, whereabouts in Dublin are you from?
The posh part of Ballyfermot.
Which side is that?
South side. If you blink, you'll miss it.
The south side of Ballyfermot. How long are you in Spain?
A year to the day.
Really? Congratulations. So the big barbecue to celebrate your first anniversary in Spain.
Yeah, I'm just glad I survived it, to be honest.
Now, you've your wife with you and three children, okay? And are they all playing in the club?
We are. Every one of us. Every Sunday. It's brilliant. It's good. It's a great mixture of Irish people. The social aspect of it is amazing. And of course then, as Mark said, Justin gets the claws in you and he breaks your heart till you come down. And then you try to leave the odd time and he's like a boomerang. He just keeps coming back at you and pulling you back and dragging you back in. But you wouldn't have it any other way.
Now, if you were back home, would you be playing Gaelic games?
Absolutely not.
Did you play when you were younger?
I did, but it was mostly soccer.
What was the motivation for bringing you to Spain?
Sun and get the bloody hell out of Ireland.
And after the winter you've had here now, it was wet and it was cold at various times.
It was, but it was sunny at times as well. It was way better than Ireland. I didn't own an umbrella over there and I don't need one here. So, you know, it beats us hands down.
If anybody is listening, would you encourage them to get involved with the Costa Gaels, whether they're Spanish, French, German, Irish, English?
Absolutely, the crack is unbelievable. The great group of lads. All right, the football's hard, it's physical, it's good fun. And then off the pitch, it's amazing. But you have a mixture of people here. Irish, English, South African, and Iraqi. Loads of different people. It's brilliant. Even an old Italian. An old Italian, yeah.
He'd be delighted to hear you say that. Ciarán, thanks for talking to me. Galway won the All-Ireland last year. Are you a hurler yourself?
I wouldn't be a hurler now. I'm an avid football supporter. Costigan's player for the last 12 months. And hope to keep it up in the future.
And tell me your name, please.
My name is David Murphy.
And David, what part of Galway are you from?
We're from Curraghfinn. Curraghfinn is a famous parish. We've three times won the All-Ireland, I think early 2000s, 2015 and 2017 again. We're glad to take the trophy home.
Excellent stuff. And you're enjoying playing with the Costa Gaels?
Immensely, yeah. It's a fantastic club, great social life. And most of my friends down here on the coast will be due to this football club.
And that lady beside you?
This fine lady beside me now. This is my girlfriend. Hopefully the wife isn't listening.
Can you tell me your name, please?
Sandra Murphy.
Oh, so you are the missus. Okay. Yes. And that you used to be the girlfriend. And where are you from, Sandra?
I'm from Tuam, County Galway. Enjoying Spain, yes. Loving it.
Would you be a big supporter now of the Costa Gaels?
Yes. I come down here every week. My son plays for the kids group.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what age is he?
He's 9.
And loving it?
Loving it.
And if you were back home now, would you be involved?
No, not so much. Well, not me, but Keane always played, Curraghfinn, he always played for those, but not me.
No, Atnabega. Emer Wilson.
And Emer, where are you from?
I'm from Portmarnock in Dublin.
Okay, and are you living in Spain or are you just visiting?
No, I'm out here 8 years.
Now, being from Portmarnock, are you a golfer?
No, but I liked the 19th hole.
Everybody likes the 19th hole. Tell me about your support of GAA.
Well, I've got three girls, so it's actually pretty brutal. I just came here to try and get them to join in, but they can't actually kick a ball yet.
They'll get there. What ages are they?
One's 16, 11 and 8.
And Costa Gaels is exceptionally good, I'm sure, for young people.
Oh, it's absolutely amazing. It's such a great thing to have in the community.
Brendan, your surname is?
Lenan.
And you're from?
From Dublin.
And you're the performer, you're performing here this evening.
Apparently so, yeah. I was told to bring the guitar, so.
Are you a singer or are you a singer-songwriter?
I'm a singer-songwriter, I think. I do write songs, I just don't play them for anyone, so.
Where do you draw inspiration for your songs?
I get them from all over the place. A big Luke Kelly fan. I'm also a massive Led Zeppelin, Pearl Jam fan. So somewhere in between the two of them.
There's a good old mix in there. So what's on the playlist for tonight?
I haven't a clue. It depends on who's around, who's in earshot.
So what do you like doing?
I like doing a mix. I like doing classic rock songs, classic ballads. I've thrown in a few Irish ballads as well.
Have you got a YouTube page that people can go to?
I don't know. I wish I did now, and I'm going to hit the radio.
Well, when you do, let us know and we'll give it a plug for you.
Thank you very much.
Brendan, thanks very much indeed. One of the Costa Gaels lads, your name is?
My name's Ricardo.
And Ricardo, you're from?
South Africa.
I was at the training session back in late February, and you were putting the boys through their paces. Yeah, you were the fit. So that's your business, I think, is it?
I'm actually a chiropractor. So I do a lot of fitness on the side. So my day job is chiropractic, and then but Luke is the other guy in the Costa Gaels. He does a lot of fitness. He's the personal trainer.
So basically what you do is you bring him out here, you wreck him, and then you charge him to be fixed on Monday morning.
There's a lot of banana peels that are left around, so there's a few slips and slides, and then I throw business cards, and it's worked in my favour, huh?
How long are you in Spain?
I've been here just under 2 years now.
And how long have you been involved with the Costa Gaels?
This is my first full season. It's very interesting because I'm from South Africa, so everything's pure rugby. So I'm still trying to wrap my head around a bouncing ball, and then I've got to kick it and grab it, and then so I just kind of do more of the physicality kark. So just tell me who I must hit and I'll hit that person. I keep it fairly simple.
Anybody that doesn't know the game will think that it's all about hitting people. It's not really. Sure it's not.
No, I'm sure it's not. I'm sure there's a lot of skill and a lot of tactics. I just don't know any of them.
And of course there was games and things organised for the young people. Trying to get them organised was the big issue. Let's have a listen and see.
Two or three in behind, okay? No. Remember, and you start in here again behind the group, okay? All yous in behind the group, please. Again, listen up. It is a relay like the last time, okay? I'm going to start out 20 yards. You have to hold the spoon without touching the ball. If you drop the ball, you have to stop, pick it up, and continue your race. Then you turn around, go back, and relay it to the next guy in your group, okay? So on my whistle.
Just run with the ball. Just run.
Well, yeah,
touch the ball with your hand. You only like to hold the spoon.
Oisin, where are you from?
I'm from Waterford. I'm from the Gaeltacht of An Rhine.
Now, you're hobbling a little bit because you had a little accident earlier when you were playing.
I went to do a kick out and whatever way I twisted, I felt something ping inside my leg. So, yeah, I knew it wasn't good. After about 10 minutes, I pinged it again and I thought I'd do myself a favour.
It was all over.
Yeah, I'm not 21 anymore.
None of us are. Now, Waterford, are you a hurling man or a football man traditionally?
I'm a man for playing football. I'm a man for watching the hurling.
Okay.
We're all mad about the hurling back in Waterford.
And do you keep a close eye on it when you're here in Spain?
Oh, all the time. Yeah, yeah. We watch it online anytime there's a game. It's tough, you know. It's hard being a Waterford supporter. They were there so nearly so many times and still missing that big prize, you know.
But you never know. This year could be the year for them.
Absolutely. And, you know, I really do believe in those words, like, rather than just kind of saying it every year, you know. They're building up to something and sooner or later they'll get their reward.
Tell me about the Costigales, what it means to you here.
The Costigales is a family. That's the best way to describe it. You can see everybody here today. All the kids are having fun. You know, we're all get together. You don't have to be Irish, you know. There's lots of different nationalities here. Yeah. And what it means is just everybody getting together, having a bit of sport, having a bit of fun. And it's a real family kind of affair in the sense that families come down, but also we feel like a family, you know. The guys I play with, they feel like my brothers, and all the people here and all the kids, we all look after each other, you know.
Here we are, the tug of war, the boys against the girls, and at the moment it's a draw, so this is the third and final one. Here we go. And the girls have it. So what's your name?
Michal.
And Michal, that's a grand Irish name. Where are you from?
Dublin.
Now, you were pulling away there in the old tug of war. Didn't go so well for the boys, or didn't?
No.
But I was watching you on the field when you were playing earlier on. You're a fine footballer.
Yeah, I am.
Do you enjoy it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I lost count of how many goals and points you scored. How many do you think?
Five.
At least five goals. And I said there was two or three points in it as well, was there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, and tell me where you're going to school.
In Benavis.
And do you like it?
Yeah.
Did you learn any Spanish since you got here?
Yeah.
What did you learn now?
Hola, ¿cómo estás bien?
My name is Maliki.
And Maliki, where are you from originally?
Ireland.
And do you like playing in the Costigales?
Yeah.
Yeah. And whereabouts in Ireland are you from?
Northern Ireland.
Okay, whereabouts?
Armagh.
Oh, that's a smashing spot. You have a great big cathedral there, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is great. And the Costigales, are you playing with them long?
Yeah.
You are? Okay. And this man here, number 8, he's wearing. What's your name?
Kian,
I was watching you on the field earlier. You're a smashing footballer as well, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. How many did you score today?
About 5 goals.
Wow. And where in Ireland are you from originally?
Galway.
Lovely. And you like it here in Spain, do you?
Yeah.
You don't ever want to go back to Ireland?
No, it's too cold.
It's too cold. All right, thanks very much.
I'm going back to where I fell in love. I'm going back to my love. I'm going back to where I felt free. I'm going to live by the sea. How I loved those sunny days. How I loved those sunny days. Lord, I loved those sunny days. Yes, I loved those sunny days. I sat and watched a wave ride a whale. Seagulls waved as they flew away. I sat and watched the sea sift the sand, the feel of gold on my hand. how I love those sunny days. How I love those sunny days. Lord, I love those sunny days. Yes, I love those sunny days. I used to sit and watch an empty boat drawn up on the shore. Oh, and the feel of life was so grand, to know that boat had come from a foreign land. I sat and watched the clouds as they rolled by, making shapes in the sky. And then I saw an angel look at me, and for a moment we smiled. How I love those sunny days. How I love those sunny days. Lord, I love those sunny days. Yes, I love those sunny days. La 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 la. How I love those sunny days. Lord, I love those sunny days. Yes, I love those sunny days. From where I'm sitting, I can see the moon. The seas just follow the sun. Oh, but tomorrow is another day, and again I can sing. How I love those sunny days. How I love those sunny days. Lord, I love those sunny days. Yes, I love those sunny days. Sunny
The lovely sound of Christy Hennessy. What a great singer-songwriter he was as well. An appropriate song, I thought, called Sunny Days. That's about it for the programme today. Thank you to everybody that made the programme possible. Thanks as well to my colleagues here at Talk Radio Europe for the support over the last number of weeks. And I know you've been plugging the Irish programme, so thank you very much indeed. And please do continue to do so. Finally, can I say to you that there is a playback facility as well at talkradioeurope.com. You can listen back to programmes over the last 7 days. So if you caught the tail end of the programme, or you want to tell somebody about it and say listen in for yourself, well, you can listen back. All you do is select Monday from 1800 to 1900 and you'll be able to hear live on ERA for the next week. It will be there. All right, look after yourselves for the coming week. Look forward to seeing you again or talking to you again very soon. Until then, from me, Ger Sweeney, bye bye now. We'll see you soon.